Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. In other words, while there's nothing wrong, obviously, with either giving or receiving an inheritance, both of those are placed in a very positive light in the Scriptures, there is something wrong when that inheritance is connected to that one little all-important word in the world of economics and finance. The word in verse 21 is the word hastily. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. You'll notice across the page in chapter 21, again, here's this whole idea of haste when it comes to economics. It's always portrayed as the opposite and thus the enemy of discretion or wisdom or prudence. Chapter 21 and verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want, which means poverty. I want to talk to you tonight about this issue of economics, money, finance, in the context of what the Scripture teaches over and over again about haste. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray we will hear it and heed it again. Thank you for all the truths we've learned or been reminded of in powerful ways from this, your precious word in recent weeks. I pray that we'll be taught and reminded again, and that because of it, Father, troubles and heartaches will be averted, and blessings will be increased. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 21, I want you to look very quickly at verse 2. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Now, that's another way of saying that man tends to think that he's always right. You can ask a man what he thinks about anything. Ask a man what he thinks about quantitative easing, and regardless of whether or not he knows what quantitative easing is, QE1, QE2, pretty good chance not only will he have an opinion, but his opinion is right. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And of all of the ways of man that we could consider where he always thinks he's right, none are any greater than these three. Religion, ask any man on the street, you know, what you think about this, God or the Bible and whatever, he's right. Number two, child rearing. This is one I've learned as a pastor. Everybody thinks they're right about how to raise kids, even if they haven't raised any yet, or they're in the midst of it. And even the ones who they raise kids and they turned out to be rotten to the core, they're right. And then number three, money. Seems like everybody, especially in America, is an expert in, and they're a genius, really. They're a brilliant commentator when it comes to religion, how to rear kids, and money. You can ask a guy at McDonald's getting his free cup of coffee with money he just panhandled. Ask him what's wrong with the economy. He'll have an absolutist 20-minute rambling dissertation. Trust me, I know. I gave him the money. And of course, you can ask the CFO in New York City. He'll know as well. Oh, he'll know. He'll be right in his own eyes, even though his bank is needing a bailout. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, and I think that's especially true when it comes to economics, to finance. A few weeks ago, we began to look into the Scriptures, not in the eyes of man, for God's principles and truths on the subject of finance and economics. And of course, we've noted and we've talked about a lot of different issues in the Bible: contentment, not complacency, but contentment, debt, interest, planning for the future, work, laziness, giving to others, neglect, and greed. On all of these issues and more, God in His Word has something to say. It's not called opinion. It's called truth. It's the Word of God. And so it is with the subject of tonight's text that we're going to look at concerning haste. It happens, by the way, to be one of Solomon's favorite topics in the entire book of Proverbs. Some of you may remember, you're old enough to remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials. That said, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. And, you know, it was a clever commercial because everybody thought about it and remembered it. It was on TV years ago. How many of you remember it? You're old enough to remember that. Yeah, sure. You know, E.F. Hutton was the second largest brokerage firm in the United States until they got caught in a strategy known as chaining. It's a form of check kiting. You know, in other words, Hutton would use the money in both accounts until the check cleared. It was illegal. So eventually, people stopped listening when E.F. Hutton talked. A better motto would be, when Solomon talks, people listen. Here's Solomon. He is the wisest and the richest man in all of the world. And more importantly, he is a man who was inspired by God, that is, given by inspiration the scriptures that he wrote. God himself. So this man is talking a whole lot about haste and a whole lot about haste with regards to finance. And I have to tell you, beloved, that what the Bible says about impulse and what the Bible says about being hasty when it comes to finances is in many ways the capstone to everything that we have studied and looked at in the scriptures so far. In other words, you can take everything we've seen in the Bible, take all the positive and all of the negative admonitions about finance and about money, and you can take it all to heart. If you don't believe and you don't follow what God says about haste, what God says here about impulse, then all that other counsel is almost completely negated. And you know what? If you think that that sounds like hyperbole, then consider what the scripture says about, quote, the fool. You know, in the Bible, the fool is always held up in the Bible, in the scriptures, as the ultimate failure. That one designation. Almost, it seems, a person with virtually no hope. That's the fool. Except, the Bible says there is one person who's actually described as having less hope even than this fool. Look at Proverbs 29, would you? Had a few pages. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. You see, the whole idea of haste and impulse, and especially as you'll notice in a moment with regard to money, it becomes a major theme in the Word of God. Here it's talking about words, but also with regard to economics. We begin, number one, I want you to consider with being hasty in your spending. Let me read it to you again. Here's what it says. Listen to this. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want or poverty. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. I want you to think for a moment about why it is that hasty financial decisions always, you know, the Bible uses superlatives a lot of times when it refers to haste. One of the superlatives here is always tends to poverty and want. And I want you to consider why it negates the things that we've already studied, the great principles we've looked at. Obviously, one of the main instructions about money is planning ahead, right? We're going to talk about that a little bit next week in Luke. Budgeting, learning the wisdom of the ants who prepared for the winter way back in the summertime. In other words, the Bible teaches that a wise steward tells his money where to go instead of just wondering where it went. I've noticed this. I've noticed that people who struggle financially always wonder where their money went. You know why that is? Because they never had real control over it. Meaning there was no plan, no budget, no rules, no knowledge. God says in chapter 27, look at it, would you? Of Proverbs, chapter 27. Remember this text a couple weeks ago. Verse 23 says, be thou diligent. Not apathetic. Be thou diligent. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. In other words, you're supposed to know. You're supposed to know where your money is going. In fact, the Bible is very clear that people who don't wonder about their finances all the time, who don't worry about their finances all the time, they already know four things. And you should know these four things. They know, number one, what you own. You should know what you own, what you owe, what you earn, and where it goes. All of that is part of God's counsel toward financial blessing. However, All of that is negated, beloved, with one word, hastiness. Whenever haste comes into the picture, those four things are destroyed, corroded. We've all heard the expression that haste makes waste. We've all heard that. There's another one, and it's less familiar, that was coined by Benjamin Franklin. It says that a man, quote, paid too much money for his whistle. Benjamin Franklin used that line through his entire adult life because of something he did as a child. He said that when he was a little boy, he was given some coins as a birthday gift. And he put those coins in his pocket. And when he did, he loved hearing the jingle, the sound that it made as he walked along. One day, he said, he was walking along and he heard a boy blowing on a little whistle like a flute. And that, he said, sounded better than the jingle in his pocket. So he immediately walked up to the boy and offered the coins as a trade for that whistle, and the boy agreed. Little Benjamin Franklin was so happy until he came to a little cart vendor, a 16th century kiosk, if you will. And there were those exact same whistles being sold, and with his boyhood friends laughing at him, little Ben realized that he could have bought, after he looked at the price, a dozen of those whistles with the coins he traded away. In other words, he said the other boy now had the sound of a whistle that he just rebought and the sound of the coins in his own pocket. And Benjamin Franklin said he learned a great lesson that day he would never, ever forget. Never spend on impulse. Never spend in haste, or you will ultimately pay far too much for a whistle. For the adult world, what that leads to is debt, and therefore bondage and fear and worries that you would never have had to have. So that again, no matter how much you agree on issues such as budgeting or debt or borrowing or giving or work or laziness that we've been studying so far, if anybody in this room believes all of those things, but you consistently buy things on impulse, you buy on haste, it is always one step forward and therefore two steps back. And the reason is that it's never a matter of how much money you make, never. There are people that I know, husband and wife, both make six figures, and they're in bankruptcy court. How can that happen? It's not a matter of how much you make. It really is a matter of what you do with how much you make. And you know, that's why corporations are willing to spend billions and billions of dollars on 30 and 40 second commercials. Second commercials. What in the world can 30 seconds do to be worth $400,000 of airtime? Very simple. It causes those who buy on impulse, in haste, to either get up and order a pizza, no big deal, or change their mind about fixing the leaking roof and getting a digital camera instead. And that could be a big deal. By the way, if somebody in here needed a new roof and you just bought a camera, I didn't know about it. It's a coincidence, okay? Now, when the Lord Jesus talked about counting the cost before building a tower in Luke 14, we'll be looking at that a little bit perhaps next week. You realize he was reminding us that you don't make costly decisions in haste, right? That's one of the great texts he uses as an illustration. But remember what he said. Jesus said, which of you intending to do this, go to war or build up a tower, right? Which of you intending to do this, what? Sitteth not down first. He repeats that phrase twice. Why? Because sitting down and counting, sitting down and, to use Jesus' word, consulting, sitteth not down first and consulteth. Those two actions run counter to haste and impulse. You know, that's why you don't see lazy boy chairs, you know, at the checkout counter, say at Publix or somewhere. They don't want you thinking about what you're about to buy. Just get it and go. You know, try that next time you see something that's on sale and you have to get it now. If I don't buy it now, it's going to cost me more. You ever heard that before? Somebody once called that costophobia. Costophobia, I love this phrase, is the irrational fear of paying more for something that you don't really need. So you have to get it now. So sit down first, that's all. That's what Jesus is saying about counting the cost. Which of you, who's crazy enough? Sit down, take some time, literally. I mean physically, sit down, take a pen, and count. Or as Jesus said, consult. Honey, do we need this? No. No. But it's on sale. You know, folks, it is not in human nature to buy or spend slowly, judiciously, or cautiously. It's not. So you see, these warnings go against our nature. That's why they're so powerful. You know, you think about this for a minute. Every day we hear some senator or congressman use the word billion, as in $1 billion worth of your tax dollars. But nobody counts what a billion is anymore. We're just told that a billion is a tiny little drop in the bucket of the national treasury. But here's how an ad agency put a billion into perspective. Think about this for a minute. What's a billion? A billion seconds ago, it was 1961. A billion minutes ago, Jesus was born. A billion hours ago, nobody was born. But $1 billion ago, it takes the government 5 hours and 10 minutes to spend $1 billion of your dollars. So you see, hastily, without real consultation or consideration, our government burns through your taxpayer money, or even worse now, just imaginary money. They're just printing paper. Spending and buying in haste is always a dangerous proposition. It's dangerous for this nation. It is selling out this nation, but it's also dangerous for me and for you as individuals and as a family. And it always appeals to our flesh. It never appeals to our spirit. Which, by the way, is precisely why sales ads and incentives thrive on haste. Today only sale. It's only today. And it's 152 easy payments. I've never met an easy payment in all my years. But they're easy somehow. You see, folks, salespeople always go after your yearnings. They don't go after your earnings. Why? Because they can sell a lot more when people spend their money out of haste, when they don't sit down first and consult and count the cost. You know, if you talk to debt counselors and support groups for compulsive shoppers, you'll find that the number one obstacle for these people is, in fact, impulse. If they could just wait, and it doesn't even mean, they'll tell you that it doesn't take that long. If they can wait a little while, just a little bit longer before they would spend it, these folks would not be in trouble at all. One of the support groups is called Shopper Stoppers. And you know what? There's a wonderful, all these little stories. And there's this one impulsive spender in one story that decided that she would put her credit cards in the freezer in a bowl of frozen water so that when she got the impulse, she would have to wait until the ice melted. Problem is, she put it in the microwave and melted it fast. You know, back in the Depression, they had a motto that said, use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. Now, without getting political, I haven't heard any of that this week in the speeches up in Charlotte. Matter of fact, do without, can you imagine trying to get most 20-somethings today to live by the motto, just do without? Now, the ones in this room, frankly, thankfully, I can imagine that. But unfortunately, the ones in our society, doing without is not in their vocabulary. Wearing it out is not in their vocabulary. And unfortunately, if they don't learn to live without, they'll be forced. They will be forced. The people in our country will be forced to live without it. It brings me then quickly to a second biblical admonition about haste. Because it's not just dangerous to have, number one, hasty spending. It's also dangerous, number two, to have hasty investing. I want all the young couples, please, to listen to this very, very carefully. In chapter 28, look at it. It's just across the page, I think, in verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich. You know, there's a difference between faithfulness and hastiness. Faithfulness is a consistent thing. But he that will be hasty to be rich shall not be innocent. Look down at verse 22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What three words do both of these verses remind you of? Get rich quick. They're called get rich quick schemes or whatever else, and boy oh boy, how many families, how many homes, how many marriages, how many businesses, how many churches even have all been destroyed because of a desire to get rich quick. It led to taking a life savings or borrowed money or grandma's nest egg or a second mortgage and investing it in some newfangled, sometimes Ponzi scheme. Some of you in here know who Charles Ponzi was. He came to America in 1903 from Italy. Figures, right? Charles Remo Ponzi. And while Charles Ponzi did not invent this idea, obviously, because there's nothing new under the sun, he made it famous in 6 months in Boston. This man went from relative obscurity and poverty to having $11 million, the equivalent today of $100 million in his bank account. How did he do that? Well, you know what he did? He told some investors that they could get a 50% return on these so-called international postal coupons. Not that many people believe that, obviously, but enough people did that they gave him some money. He just took, put it away in this phony investment. And then he took 50% of their money, he gave it back to them and told them that that was their earnings, that was their interest. He told them that that was their profit, and they said, wow, we'll just keep the 50% and reinvest it at the same rate. And you know what happened? Before long, they told their rich, covetous friends, and they told their friends, and before long, Charles Ponzi was a gazillionaire. The problem, obviously, is that Ponzi schemes are 100% non-sustainable. Somebody needs to tell our country that, by the way, and our government in Washington. Eventually, the investors not only didn't make any profit, they lost most or all of their so-called investment. And you say, Pastor, how can people who are smart, how can people who are very smart, successful, educated people, fall for something like that 50%? Because, you know, there have been hundreds and even thousands of clever Ponzi schemes since 1903. You know, Bernie Madoff was the chairman of NASDAQ. He was not a dumb man. He was a very smart man. And most of his investors were very highly educated, smart people too. But the idea that they could get more return on their money faster than the standard accepted way was enough. He didn't claim, they don't claim today international postal coupons, but they call it something like global currency arbitrage or hedge futures trading or high yield investment offshore bubble matrix, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. All these fancy terms, but it's still the same exact thing. It's a fraud. And how do people who are smart fall for it? Get rich quick. Hasty to make money. You know, if you do not teach your young people, here's the scourge of the inner city. If you do not teach children growing up the value of delayed gratification, then when someone comes along and says, look, you don't have to work at McDonald's for minimum wage as a 14-year-old. You can make $500 today just by selling these drugs. If they don't understand delayed gratification and right and wrong, If they embrace the idea of get rich quick, which every single pathetic rap song out there teaches, if they don't embrace the fallacy of that, they're never going to make it. They'll be drugged. They'll do whatever it takes. All of these schemes that claim, coming back to our young couples in this room, or single young single adults, If they claim to yield 20 or 30 or 40% on some return, they're appealing to your carnal nature, and that is your greed. And there are people who say, I'd never fall for a losing proposition like that, but they'll spend money on the lottery or the casino or whatever. It's still vanity. It's still a desire to get rich hastily, to acquire wealth, not faithfully, but quickly. That, beloved, is not God's design. God's design, we've already studied, is crystal clear. Go back to chapter 13. Look at verse 11. This is a great text. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You see, God has designed it that you increase. God wants you to increase. I've been at this church for 25 years, and one of the blessings of being in this church for 25 years is watching and seeing people who have worked hard, saved their money. I can look out here, and I can see some of you, and I can remember when you lived in apartments, and you lived in Mallard's Cove or in Chasewood, or they're on A1A, and now you own your own home. And it took a while. It took time. It took labor and abiding by the principles of Scripture. God is not against you increasing. He's for that. If you observe all of God's principles that we've studied, it's almost inevitable. Truths about debt, fairness, savings. This kind of gathering, it says, shall increase, and that increase will be or is blessed by God. And that's a great thing. Don't waste $4,000 on some two-day seminar that promises to show you how to be a millionaire in 6 months. You know, if that really worked, then Mr. Seminar could make the 2 days free for you and charge you 1% on your first million, and he'd be further ahead. Why does he have to charge you $4,000 for 2 days? Because he's getting rich quick. And your desire to get rich quick is making you poor. Hasty spending, hasty investing. Number three, there is also in the Bible a hasty enjoying. And this is very important, and it's tied with it. Look at chapter 21 and verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But everyone that is hasty only to want, which again means poverty. Now, let me read to you what Solomon also said in the book of Ecclesiastes that's in connection with this. There is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. Now listen to this verse. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor, it is the gift of God. In other words, here's what he's basically saying. If you don't take time and slow down and literally rejoice and enjoy what you do have, you will always run. You will always haste to go get more. And again, there's nothing wrong with getting more. There's nothing wrong with increase. That's a gift of God. So long as Malachi says, you look at what you already have and, quote, lay it to heart. Do you do that? Do you look at what you have and you lay it to heart? Slow down when it comes to things. Slow down when it comes to pleasure. Slow down when it comes to money. After all, to 9/10 of the rest of the world, we are already rich. Matter of fact, if you really want to get rich quick, and you can. Now, I'm telling you how to get rich quick. I'm not going to charge you $4,000. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can get rich really, really quick in a matter of hours. Fly over to the Sudan, to Darfur, to Bangladesh. Compare, get there, look at them, compare your life here with their life now. Go to any nation in the 1040 window. Africa, Asia, 10 degrees latitude north, equator, 40 degrees latitude north. 3.2 billion people live in the 1040 window. Those 3.2 billion people that live there make less than $500 a year. You're already wealthier, richer than 3.2 billion people. Far richer, by the way. These people would look at you and say, wow, filthy rich. So if you want to get rich quick, hop on a plane, buy a ticket, and instantly, bingo. Did I say bingo? Bingo, you're rich. God says, enjoy what you have. Take time to realize the goodness and the good things you already possess. And by all means, do not embrace a hasty spirit. Would we love to have Building C? Yeah, I would have liked to have it 2 years ago. But there are voices of counsel that say, hey, just wait and see. Sometimes the voice of wisdom, the past, on Center Street said, hey, let's do this first. Let's do that first. Well, when it comes to your life and things you want and things that are within your reach, it's okay. God gives you things richly to enjoy. Just don't be hasty in your spirit. And then that way, God blesses the increase. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, and we know how practical and yet powerful it is. And I pray, Father, that all of us in this room will hear these truths as we've listened to them week after week and then heed them. We thank you, Father, that in your word, you show us, give us principles that are so opposite, that run so contrary to the things we are taught and see in our society, especially in the entertainment world, that it corrects our compass, that it makes our compass true north. And I pray, God, that once again we will align our thinking with your word, with your principles and your truths. And in so doing, Father, we will be a stronger people, stronger in our hearts and our spirits. And then that would find its way into our everyday walk, even with our finances and our families. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hey, glad you're saved. Fellowship for a while. God bless you all. You're dismissed.